This segment is brought to you by Jigmaster Jigs. When in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com and use promo code PNF20 and save 20% off your next jig order today.
Welcome to The Reel Down on Paddle and Fin with your hosts, Dan Perry and Jimmy Skinner, where we talk about everything tournament kayak fishing. Here we go. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of The Reel Down on Paddle and Fin. What's going on, Jimmy?
What's up, man? How you been?
Good. Went out to Gunnersville this weekend and got spiked.
You fought a bunch of wind, too, man.
Yeah, it was terrible. Damn lying weatherman said it was like 10 miles an hour. It was 25 out there. Gust of everything.
Hey, at least you got to get out, man. I recovered from one hell of a work week. I didn't do much at all. I was done. I haven't worked till my feet hurt that bad in a long time. It was rough.
Working for yourself, it's tough nowadays.
Yeah, it's getting busy, which is great. You know, I just did all the legal stuff for my business, and that's exciting. But I'm slowly losing all of my fishing time. So,
You had enough time, set up a nice new background there, going shiplap. You're one of those gains people.
No, I didn't set up anything.
I'm a white man. White.
I just moved everything out to the camper. Give my wife the dining room back. And it does look cool. I'll get some PNF stuff going or something like that.
I'm down in my kid's basement, his playroom. A bunch of toys. It looks okay right here. Over there is no boy.
I've seen it. It is. It's chaos around the corner.
This is like the fisherman's air mattress room. Everybody comes and stays and fishes a coosa. But yeah, obviously tonight we got a great guest. Never been on show before. I don't know how that happened, how it took this long. But we have the one, the only, the co-founder of the Cesspool Kayak Bass Nation. If you just watch him over there, he's over here now. And the co-founder of Yak Addicts Apparel. I own some stuff myself. Great, you know, great gear. And now he's the owner of a Happy Gilmore size $30,000 check. Mister, take your lunch money, Ryan Lambert.
What's up, guys? Football.
What's going on, dude?
Thanks for being on, man.
No problem, buddy.
I'm glad you got the check up there.
Yeah, I had to bring. I'm at my girlfriend's house in Atlanta, and I had to bring it down. She's like, "What are you doing with that?" I was like, "I need a background in this little closet I'm about to do the podcast in."
It's never leaving my side again.
I know. I said, "I'm bringing home the bacon." That's what you told me to do.
That's right.
You can't be upset with that.
No. I keep a picture of that. Even if I didn't have it with me, I keep a picture of it like in my wallet, like a kid's picture.
I still can't believe it, man. That was catching that fifth fish was the most overwhelming experience of my life next to the birth of my child. I was like, you know, I just, gosh, it was so many emotions at once. It was nuts.
I watched that little video you posted and you could hear it in your voice. Like,
dude,
like I bet your heart was like
to get it in the net. I was like this, like, I'm used to everything going wrong. So I was like, you know, I feel like something terrible is going to happen. And once it hit the net, I was like, this is it. Like, this is real. Like, I just didn't blow it like I thought I was going to.
Heck yeah.
And if anybody has any questions for Ryan and I, please ask away and share as always. But we'll go ahead and get started. I'll go over some of the numbers here. First, there was a shootout at 29 Anglers. Jeremy Mitchell won that one again. He had just won the All-American. He had 82 and 3/4. Congratulations to him. Yin Hua Yang, he got second with 77 and a half, and Joey Randall in third with 75 and a half. So day one at TOC, you had 95 inches, first place.
All smallie.
Yeah, second Christine Fisher, 94 inches. My boy Lance Cooley, his second day didn't work out, but he came strong day one, 92 and a half. Your boy Jordan Marshall, who was just on KBN, go back and listen to that if y'all weren't already on there, 91 inches and Russ Snyder's with 89 and a quarter. Day two, 91 and a quarter. You backed it up a little bit less, but still the biggest bag of the day. Second, Jordan Marshall, he came up. He had 84 and a half. Cooley McGowan, 82 and three quarter. Brandon Prince, 82 and three quarter. And then Ron, 81 and just 81 even. And then so total, you had 186 and a quarter. You won by 10 and three quarter inches. That's ridiculous.
All brown fish. That's the best part.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. I the only reason, like, and honestly, I didn't bust 95 in state. I had 98 and a half or something in the state championship up there, same waters a month ago, but I had a 23 and a half inch kicker largemouth. I didn't have that on this stringer. So I was honestly, I wasn't even factoring in having the potential of that giant, you know, freak largemouth bite, but I was comfortable betting that I was going to catch 88 to 92 inches every day. I that was my, like, I knew that was going to happen. So I wasn't shocked too much, but I didn't expect to bust 95 on the first day. I think that, I didn't come in like talking trash because I was nervous because I hadn't pre-fished it. You know, I just knew where those fish were a month ago. So I wasn't being too like boasty. Marshall had a chip on his shoulder and he should have, because he's a local river hammer up there. But I was just kind of whispering in little people's ears, like, don't sleep on me now. Like, I know what I'm doing up here. And thankfully those fish were there. Once I hit 95, you couldn't tell me anything in the world that I wasn't going to win it. 95, man, in 45 minutes, I was like, nope, done.
Still, if even in that range, if you're saying 88 to 92 a day or 95 a day, 88 a day would have been enough to get it too.
88 a day is, that's about average for that stretch of river. I've fished it four times now, and all four have been 91 and above all four times that I've fished that stretch. So I feel good. What's that?
For anybody that doesn't, obviously, you know, don't give up where you're fishing, but like, we know you were on a float. How many miles was it? I saw you post that.
So the float. So let me tell you how this is set up. So obviously, I'll tell you, I was on the French Broad River. Like, that's, I don't care. I'm never going back. But I went up there. Terry Golden, he's one of the gentlemen that fishes TVKA with us. He had never fished a river. Last week. Yeah. So he had never fished a river before. This is his first river float. And I just picked two random spots on the map, and we showed up and he and I were fishing, and I look over at the ramp and I see Jordan Marshall and Eric Thomason put in. I was like, boy, we done made a good call right here. So I slid down through there, throwing a jackhammer the whole float, and I had 92 and a half pre-fishing. I was like, okay, this is good. I didn't know where the hot stretch was at that point. So we come back, I think it was like 3.5 weeks later is when the state championship fell. And me, Terry, and his son Brad are all floating together. And I look over and Terry pulls like a 19 and a half inch smallmouth off this unsuspecting looking bank that's like kind of flooded timber. And it's not a current break completely. I mean, there's a good bit of current moving through there, but it's on the inside bend of the river. And I look over and see him pull that off, and we're floating and we're about to hit this bridge, and I'm trying to not hit the bridge. So I look back and I see Brad pull like a 20 inch smallmouth off. And I was like, everybody stop. We got to get back up here. There's not two fish that big there on accident. Like, there's more fish there. So went way up past it to try to find where it started, where the school started. By the time I got back down, they already had two more over 18 inches pulled out of that spot. And I was like, oh shoot, we found it. So, you know, it was, the hurricane was blowing through and we were just rotating in the piss pouring rain, you know, all through just rotating, hitting the spot, pulling an 18, 19, 20 inch smallmouth off. And I said, this place is special. Like, this wasn't an accident. This is something that, you know, there's obviously something to it. So I literally bet 30 grand on me being right on that gut feeling. So I didn't even pre-fish it. I went in and just went in blind as a bat. And we did the float the first day, to answer your original question. It was 17 miles. But I wanted to put in right on top of it almost and go upriver to get to it. Instead, I saw Matt Ball and Jody Queen launching there, and I told Shane, I was like, ain't no way I'm fishing a river behind Jody Queen. So we're going to put some distance between me and him because he will pick it apart. Like yeah. The guy, I mean, Jody is a super great, super humble guy, but he'll beat your eyeballs out. And I was like, I ain't getting his scrap. So we went way on up, and I ended up catching a 19 and a half inch smallmouth on the way down. And when I got to the spot, I hit it first. And I think I already had like a 20 and a quarter by the time Shane got to me. And then he watched me catch a 19 and a quarter and I think an 18 and a half off of it. And I hit 95 and I just reeled my shit up, put it down. I said, I'm done. It's 10:07. I'm done.
That's insane.
Did anybody else see you do it right there?
No, that's so, why we did that.
You were gone.
We were the only truck to launch up higher. So everyone else had already floated down. And that's what I didn't want to happen with somebody to see me. Apparently, you know, we got all these photo analyzers and shit out here in the world. So people were like breaking down what was in the, I got three or four messages like, be careful about the pictures you post with something in the background. I'm like, I don't mind addressing something with somebody if they are sliding up on my stuff, you know, day two, like that's fine. But, yeah, that happened of course. So,
yeah, I want to get to that in a second. We'll let you tell that story.
Well, Dave, do you want to give, like, what's your whole, because, I mean, that's 2 years in a row that obviously, you know, you love Z-Man, you're in Z-Man, you're wearing a hat. That's 2 years in a row that TOC has been won by a jackhammer. Last year was Jody throwing a jackhammer in a place where you wouldn't normally, he was throwing it in laydowns, which you would think square bill, something, you know, you wouldn't really think a jackhammer. And now you won it this year with it. What's your whole setup?
I think a jackhammer is probably the most one. A jackhammer or this guy. Ned saved the day. The jackhammer caught a 19 and a half. Ned caught everything else. I think I had one more on a spinner bait maybe. So 8 fish on a 10 fish stringer came from a Ned rig. If they were hitting moving baits, it would have been a jackhammer. But those fish, you know, kind of unique to that spot, those fish, they turn off after a couple moving bites. Like they see their friends get snatched out of there, you know, chasing that shiny blade. And they're like, no, I'm not going to eat that anymore.
Oh, so okay.
You have to slow down.
A jackhammer. My bad.
I wish. I like the hook set a lot better than a jackhammer. I carried 4 rods with me. I used 3. I had a G Loomis Conquest that I was throwing the jackhammer on. I had a SLX glass rod. I had the spinner bait on it, then I had a Loomis spinning rod. All my rods got stolen like at state championship that afternoon. So Steve-O went down to dugout and bought me a whole new batch of rods with my debit card. Thank you, Steve. He has expensive taste. I've never bought a rod over $100. So,
wow. How much is a Conquest rod? I don't know. I've never even heard of a Conquest.
It's $600. And yeah. And
that's why I don't know.
Literally, my first rod that I won my first 3 or 4 bass tournaments was a freaking Berkeley Lightning rod and a $50, you know, Black Max reel. Like I don't think you need to spend money on it, but having the right action rod is always going to be better, you know, for especially treble hooks or like jackhammers, specifically spinner baits, things where they can get leverage on and get that hook out. Like you need something that's a little more, you know, fast, got a little more flex to it. So it doesn't allow them to get that kind of leverage on them. And I see that. I'm not an idiot, but I am stubborn.
Well, now you can buy you a whole set of Conquest rods if you want to.
I don't.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. That money would be going way, way other places.
I don't, man.
I ain't going to lie. Those Berkeley Lightning rods are count. That's all I used to have when I was younger.
I still got that first one. I'll never throw it away.
I've got one of the originals because I remember when they changed them up and they turned – when they went to those orange blanks, I hated them.
Yeah, I don't have one of those. The one I've got is probably 7 years old. It was, you know, the old – graphite looking just plain black with a cork handle.
Which Ned rig do you use?
I like the big TRD.
The big one. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I like the big one. I mean, I like throwing. I used to throw shaky heads, so I got kind of turned on to the Ned rig trend, and I catch the heck out of smallmouth on a Ned rig pretty much anywhere. Anywhere that you think a smallmouth lives, just throw a Ned rig and you'll catch them. So
I know it definitely seems like I usually throw the small ones, but it seems like the hookup ratio is a whole lot better than a shaky head.
Oh, it is. But I mean, it's an exposed hook generally. I mean, most of the time when you're throwing a shaky head, you know, you'll kind of hide the hook a little bit, but that, I think that's the key, is just it being an exposed hook. And I use the ones with the weed guard, the Ned head with the weed guard. Yeah.
Yeah. The little deals. So I want to give credit to the other folks. Jordan Marshall, he was second with 175.5. Christine making the big giant comeback. Felt bad for her last year. Not to bring up last year, but you know, she made it to the TOC last year, but this year did great, got third. 172, Coley McGowan, 166, and Joseph Sanderson, fifth with 163.5. And congrats to Drew Gregory for getting the AOY in that Halloween, Outback or PA?
Yeah, it was a PA 360, man. I tried to buy it off of him on the spot. I was ready to take that thing home. He said he's going to check with his wife and get back to me. I want it. I do. I want to buy it right now.
He'll come with a bunch of Crescent stickers on it.
I felt bad for Russ, man. Russ had such a killer year. I was, you know, putting the money on. I was like, that's why he hadn't bought him one yet. He's getting that one at the end of the year.
So, listen, Russ is not like a cocky, boasty dude. I was talking to him in the parking lot when he was like, man, I'm paddling this attack. That current was awful. I was like, I feel bad for anybody trying to paddle anything out there. I said, man, you need to run down to Jamie and get you a 360. He said, without even batting an eye, I'm about to win one tomorrow. And I was like, oh, okay, Russ.
He's got a Titan. Why didn't he take the Titan?
I don't know if he still – does he still have it?
I actually don't know if he does.
I don't know if he does. He won it in state last year.
Yeah.
I don't know if he still has it.
I thought I saw a picture not too long ago with it, but
I know he had it at one point. I don't know if he still has it.
John Boot Butte asked if you
tried boy from Nashville.
The Molten Craw big TRD.
I do. I like the Molten Craw, especially in I like it better in smaller rivers, John, to answer your question. I usually throw just green pumpkin. That's kind of my go-to color. I threw green pumpkin until I broke it off, and I threw I had one Ned head left, by the way, on day two. I was getting real scared. Wow. Copper truce. So I switched to copper truce. Oh. I threw it, and whatever that broke off on, I hooked the green pumpkin Ned, and I'll post a picture later on, but I hooked that and pulled my other Ned head back up. So then I had two, and I had my green pumpkin worm back.
Wow. That's awesome.
That was your day, man.
That's a pro move, boys. That's a pro move. Catch your own bait when you break it off.
I like it.
Hey, real quick, while we're on questions, my boy Chris Marks wants to know, what's the best trailer for a jackhammer?
I like the Razor Shads. You can tell me anything different you want to. A lot of people throw a Zaco on there, but the Razor Shads has the same action as a Zaco, but it's a Laztec. So instead of going through five or six, I will go like 5 or 6 weeks throwing the same trailer. I have rusty jackhammers in the console of my Hobie right now with the same trailers on them, and I'll pick them right back up time on and throw them out.
Here's a question for you for me. When your jackhammers finally go and they rust out, you just keep using them?
Yes.
I watched a guy putting them up like, I'm done with these, they're rusted. And I was like, what?
No, man. I think a rust on that hook, I think that holds the fish on better. I'm not even exaggerating, dude. I throw rusty jackhammers.
I had a box leak on me and me not know it. And I've got like five bad rusted jackhammers. They still got the skirts are still fine on them. I was like, meh, sharpen the tip, they'll be all right.
I'll give it right now. Everybody needs to go ahead and buy up those orange ones, the fire craw, before the spring comes, because there's not going to be any. Buy some now.
Yeah.
Well, anybody that's looking, I got them for $55 a piece right now.
Yeah,
I'm just kidding.
I like it. So explain to everybody, what do you do for a living again? Like, you train doctors to
So I was an x-ray tech. I started life as an x-ray tech at Erlanger Hospital in Chattanooga. I worked in the emergency room there for a couple years, and I worked in surgery for like 5 or 6 years doing endovascular surgery, so like aortic aneurysm repairs and stuff. And then I got hired on to the industry side with GE Healthcare, and I started teaching, like, when you buy a new system, I would go in and train the x-ray techs how to use it. Well, then I got, they call it advanced clinical specialist. I got to where I would go in and train the doctors on how to use the 3D software that we sell, like installing the AAA grafts and brain stents and heart valves. And I actually just found out recently that I'm going to be moving over to a full sales role and just have the Tennessee territory, so I don't have to live in a suitcase anymore. I can use the studio that I built in my house to do these podcasts and hopefully get to fish Gunnersville and Chickamauga every day. So I can't wait.
Congrats, man. And that's what I was going to ask. How the hell do you have all this time to go on these hunting trips and the fishing trips?
He doesn't
have a daughter.
Dude, I live in a suitcase. Like, I get home on Thursday evenings from work. I'll usually have Friday to, like, get my laundry done and pack for whatever adventure is going on or whatever fishing tournament. A lot of these tournaments, I may get one day to pre-fish or no days to pre-fish. And I get lucky a lot. I mean, sometimes I make good decisions. Sometimes I make bad ones. But, you know, that's what my life is. So I'm hoping once I can have it a little more structured, I can really try to hammer down and put some time into the stuff.
So he went from a specialist in the medical field to now you're a PKA, man. Good job.
Yeah, have I reached the threshold?
What makes a professional kayak angler, and are you a PKA?
I'm not. I have a job. I'm going to do that tomorrow. So I honestly, we have these, like, what in our little world that are pro level tournaments, you know, that are paying out, you know, $8,000-$10,000. I think that's great. But when you say somebody's a professional, like, I think of that as, you know, that's what they do financially independent of anything else. Like, you know, they're not like, you know, washing cars and mowing yards, you know, every day, and then they fish on the weekends. When you tell me, like, I'm a pro angler, I think that your sponsors are paying your hotel bills, paying your house payment, paying for your truck. Like, is your living. So I don't, you know, I understand that we're trying to grow this or whatever, but when you say, like, a professional kayak angler, and I'm not saying some of these dudes aren't, like, I think Russ is up to what, like, 40 grand or something this year, you know, I mean, that's a good number, but I can't do that. You know, that's not going to be something where I would quit my job and be like, I want to risk it all to get out here and
fish
and chase that right now. Now, when you start getting, like, non-endemic sponsors coming in and really putting the backing into it, when they say, here's you know, this dealership's going to give you a truck, and, you know, this sponsor's giving you $6,000 a year, this one's $8,000, this one's $10,000, whatever. When you can string together something like that, and then your winnings are icing on the cake, then I think we can, you know, really have professional kayak anglers.
Do you think that's coming?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
I do too.
I think this is growing so fast. And, like, I've got a lot of buddies in a lot of different industries. Like, the Mossy Oak guys, the Hook guys, like, they are shifting a lot of their, like, Mossy Oak, that's their wrap on my boat right now. I don't work for them or anything. Like, that's the kind of interest that they're taking. They reached out. They're like, hey, we're trying to get in, man. Well, you know, will you let us get a foot in the door? I think once you start seeing stuff like that happening, that, you know, that's what's going to generate these other outside companies into wanting the advertising. But I've said this before, I think for the advertising, you have to offer more live media content. So there's going to have to be live streaming from your kayaks. Like, there's got to be more to bring the dollar in. You know, that's why bass boats are knocking it out of the park, because they have cameras. They have cameramen on you know, a lot of the pro boats. That's a trick. Like, we have to figure out something like that.
I would love to know a rough number of what someone like Bassmaster pays a day in their media coverage to run around the lake, you know, move camera guys from one angler to another when they have to. Well, I would just love to know what that dollar is.
You need to get Cody Prather on sometime from Texas. He's cool. A cameraman for MLF. And I mean, you know, he had a lot to do with the original TOC when it was in Texas. You need to get him on, and that'd be a great question to ask him for sure.
I have to write that one down.
It's I don't know. Well, we'll see. It's tough. Even the people who are kind of the pro, what we consider a pro, Christine, Jody, Cody, Russ, they're still, you know, they still have a side job. They're pressure washing.
Russ, dude, you know, Russ hustles all kinds. Russ hustles his ass off. Not only is he a great angler, Russ is a hustler, like, all the time. Christine, she's, you know, she does some riding work, marketing work. Like, you look and you're like, oh, she's just living this. And she does. Christine has some great sponsors, like, you know, real cash sponsors. Yeah. Like, she's got some real good stuff going. But I mean, you still have to have something to kind of put everything together, right? I think.
So if you can't say yourself, I'll make it easy for you. So you can't say yourself, who's the best angler right now? Is it Russ?
Dude, I wouldn't say myself in the top 15 or 20 people. Listen, I know where I'm at, buddy. Like, I would have to say, you know, if you put them in 100 tournaments, they're going to cash checks in 97 of them. It'd be Russ Snyder's. I think he's, you know, Jody, I know Jody's had a lot of success. I'm not trying to, Jody would be a close second in my opinion, but I think Russ, from coast to coast, north to south, like, he's a freaking hammer. I don't know what
he's figured out.
Dude, I don't know what he does. I want to fish with him one day. I want to sit and watch Russ, man. Like, ugh.
I haven't got to fish with him, but I had just when we had our paddle and fin meetup, him and Adam Reiser came down and hung out with us and just got to sit at a table at the restaurant and talk to him. Yeah. And like, just listen to him talk about little stuff was like blowing my mind. I was like, dude, there's a whole nother level to your brain. Like,
I bet, and I don't want to give too much away, I bet that there's going to be some sort of media platform that Russ will jump on and share some of these magic tricks. So we might get a look into the mind of Russ Snyder's before too long.
Cool. Maybe I need it.
I hope he does. He is our Aaron Martins. Like, he is.
Russ Snyder's and Greg Blanchard. I don't know if you guys know Greg well.
Yeah.
Greg's
another one. Yeah.
He hits different, man. He knows the stuff.
I wish we could get him a little less, you know, like, shy on the media side of it, because he does do some stuff. But, and, you know, like, he's been on the show, and then you'll reach out and, you know, you can't really get in touch with him. And like, he's one of those people, if he marketed himself just a little bit different.
Like, oh, yeah. Dude, talent wise, he has more.
He's amazing.
But it's, you know, just like you said, when these companies are looking, they're looking for a talent, but they're looking for a presence too, like self-marketing almost, you know, where you're out like shaking hands, kissing babies, putting stuff together. And I think, like you said, Russ doesn't care about that though. He goes out to wax your ass with a fishing pole like every other weekend. Like,
and then he'll go back and pressure wash your house.
Yeah, exactly. Take your money two ways.
Yep.
So not to blow smoke, if Russ Snyder's is our Aaron Martins, are you our Swindle?
That would be a compliment.
This is why I say that, because a lot of people win tournaments. Russ, yeah. Jody, Cody, Christine. I have never seen so many people so excited and post so much stuff over somebody winning a tournament as what has happened in the last day and a half.
And I appreciate that. I really do. I don't know where I put myself. I think I'm more like like John Daly in kayak fishing.
Get the pants.
I don't take myself too seriously. I love to have fun. Like, I love the social aspect and getting people out, pulling people out of their shell. You know, I like getting all the guys together from out of town and us, you know, doing stuff together. I like G-Man. I do. And I like to have the media side of things too. Like, I know KBN sometimes is just an absolute dumpster fire and I can't put it out. But a lot of times, you know, we try to promote the anglers. You know, we try to push that. Like, if nobody else wants to, like, we'll do it. And we try to push the series too, because you have to have that link, you know, to the people. And people like to get on there and bullshit, but then they see like some real stuff and they're like, oh, like, hey, check that out too. So I think that might be part of it, is people kind of see, you know, see me doing the podcast stuff and that kind of thing. And I've been so close in so many freaking tournaments, man. I've got a lot of top tens. This was my first national level win. And it is literally the biggest, most important tournament I've ever finished. So
I mean, I think you're done now, man. Well, how do you top this? I mean, it's time to hang it up.
That's what I asked. That's exactly I asked in my group chat. I was like, I feel like I need to just retire, because I don't know what I could do that's going to mean more than that right there. Where it was competing against Jordan Marshall, specifically Jordan Marshall, me and him. We're really, really good friends, but we're arch enemies on the water. Like, the only person the other one wants to beat is the other guy. Like, that's every single time. So that just meant so much to be there and to have that success in the state championship. That, and the little girl conference, I don't know if y'all saw that, my Instagram story on day one, this little girl was standing on the bank right down from where I launched. She wasn't standing there yet. I was fishing. And I hear a camper door. I was fishing by a campground. I hear a camper door slam. And this little girl, she's like 7, comes running to the water's edge. She's like, hey, mister. And I was like, hey, how you doing? She said, I caught my first bass here yesterday. It was big. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. I was like, you fish a lot? She's like, no, I mean, I just started. She's like, that was the first fish I caught. And I was like, cool. I was like, did you put it back? Is he still here? And she's like, yeah, I put it back. And about that time I set the hook, and it was like a, I don't know, 10-inch fish or something. So I think it may have been 14 or something like that. And she said, oh, that's not it. Mine was way bigger. I started laughing, and her mom came out, and she's like, you know, leave him alone. You know, he's fishing. The fish will hear you. I said, if the fish can hear me, I'm trying to catch these dumb ones that can't hear me. If they can hear me, they're too smart. Those are not the ones that I'm going after. So I sat and talked to her. She told me her brother like had a flag football game, so she wasn't going to get to fish today. Hopefully she could fish tomorrow. And, you know, just that engagement, she was so nice and so sweet, told me her name. I told her that I've got a daughter and I take her fishing all the time and she loves it. And she's, you know, she was just so sweet. And she's like, have a nice day. She's like, good luck in your tournament, and waved. And I was like, like that, you know.
Resets your mood for sure.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Lucky, you could have went the other way and been like, "I'm a PKA bitch, get off my phone."
I just took about like, we probably sat there and talked for 15 or 20 minutes. Me and this little 7-year-old, I'm just sitting here in the water talking to her. Like, Shane's freaking a mile and a half down the river by this point, and I was like, I bet he's wondering what I'm doing. And I was like, you know, this is going to be a good day. Like, whatever happens from here on out, like, this is going to be a good day. And I think that's the kind of stuff that we need to keep an eye on is kind of what you can impact outside of kayak fishing.
All right, I'm about to get crazy here, but stay with me.
All right,
would you ever, and let me get to the end before you say yes or no, would you ever be open to fishing a KBF event again? But I only say that because now you, if you're saying how could you ever top that, maybe now the goal has to be the Triple Crown, like the TOC, the National Championship, and the Bass National Championship.
So with all the stuff that's happened, you know, on and off the water, back and forth, business decisions and personalities and whatnot. After Gunnersville, after that whole freaking debacle last year, and then, you know, payment issues and whatnot that happened throughout the year, judging issues. I had made my mind up that I was done, that I wasn't going to fish KBF anymore. My last event, if COVID hadn't killed that, was going to be the national championship on Gunnersville in the spring, because that's my smallmouth bite. And I was catching 98, 99, 100 inches of smallmouth every single day. So I was like, this is going to be my ultimate mic drop. See ya. Goodbye. When that got moved to the fall, on top of our state championship, and then there was a conversation about why it was placed on our state championship, they tried to like buy us off, like to move our state championship that had been on the books, you know, for 2 years. And I was like, this is why. Like this is a perfect example why. Like we have this awesome local kayak fishing community, and our state championship's not a joke. Like we pay out, you know, $4,000 or $5,000. Like, and I was like, boy, like how do you come in here and try to buy this off? To answer your question, no, I won't do it under the current structure that it's set up under. Maybe if it gets bought out and things get turned around, I would consider it. I do want to win the Bassmaster Classic. I don't know if it'll happen this year. I'm going to try. I'm sure it's going to, obviously it's in Texas, so it's going to be a lake I've never seen before, but I'm going to go out and give it hell. I'll probably take a jackhammer with me, I'd say.
That's right. Were you using electronics for this event?
So to address that, Craig Storms called me today and he's like, bro, what do you need? What kind of batteries do you need? And I was like, I ain't got a battery operated nothing on my boat, Craig. I don't need any batteries. I have a fish finder. I have, you know, the transducer mounted for a Helix 9. When the fish go deep in the summer, I'll run it for however many midsummer tournaments I fish, which is usually not many. Yeah, I can usually find fish shallow in the grass. I think I really used my fish finder for the Hobie BOS Kentucky Lake this year, and that was it. I don't use a fish finder.
Now with the next event coming up this weekend, you just won the TOC, and now bass is coming to your home lake.
Dude, I fished my home lake the weekend before the TOC, and it's a mess. Like, Chickamauga is fishing.
Stingy.
It's fishing tough. I had two 16.5-inch fish that I caught, you know, right next to the boat ramp in that tournament. And then I had like a 12.5 or 13 I couldn't get rid of on our local three fish stringer. I'm exhausted. I put everything I had into what I did yesterday. I don't know if I'm going to fish chick, man. I've already qualified for the Classic in Texas. I'm registered for it. You know, I'll donate my money. I'm real good at donating money. So I don't care to do that, but I didn't get to see my daughter this past weekend. So I'm going to have her this weekend. And I'm not going to guarantee I won't fish it, but I'm 90% sure that I'm not going to. If she wants to fish it, then we'll go. But I expect it to be cold, and Mackenzie does not like the cold. So,
yeah.
When are you scheduled to be on Ike Love?
I was talking to Brian Carpenter about it beforehand. We're trying to work it out. So I think they were going to have Aaron Martins on, and I was going to go on with him Thursday or Friday, but something came up scheduling wise with Aaron. So we're trying to work it out. It'll be soon though. I mean, for sure.
Would that be like a small dream to get on there? That to me would be like,
actually, they had me on after the Gunnersville event last year. Right. The whole debacle went down. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I know Charles and Brian and Ike himself, you know, we talked and, you know, bullshitting around at the Susky. He's a really, really cool guy. Becky's really great. I donate to their charity too. Even though I can't make it up and fish their event, I still, you know, give money to it. Like I support what they're doing, 'cause I think they're a real positive influence on not only the fishing community, but they're big into kayak fishing. Well,
cool. Well, man, we don't want to hold you up anymore. Do you have a, I guess, shout out to any sponsors you got?
Man, Z-Man, obviously. On like if I didn't if I didn't have the Z-Man kit on me, it probably wouldn't have happened this weekend. Shimano and G Loomis, like I said, I didn't know what I've thrown Shimano reels for a long time. Like there's no doubt what you know they're smoother than anything else on the market. So you know that those guys, Calco's Fishing, David Romanus, he's always been a big supporter in my corner personally. You know, I get texts from him all the time, just super encouraging. Plano Fishing and Dugout Bait and Tackle. If you don't know the Dugout guys, Jamie Koza, they are the whole family. Like I was getting messages from the whole family, from Lee Rose, from Carter, from Jamie. Like they're you know, they're legit. They deserve everything they have.
Yeah, I mean, if you're coming down for the Chick event, go over there, check them out. Check out the Dugout, great store. How big and last? How big was the 360 in the river for this event for you?
Massive. The maneuverability of that drive is almost a necessity. You know, like you could do it forward, reverse, whatever, but making those turns when you get stuck in those eddies, like the current seam that's trying to push you one way or push you the other, where it was really clutch. And I don't know what would have happened if I didn't have it in this scenario. I was going under a bridge and it's when that big squall blew through yesterday. We had 20 mile an hour winds coming up the river and 10 mile an hour current going down the river. So I get stuck in this hydraulic. And it's got my boat like, you know, sucking it down. And there's like 4 foot rollers coming over the front. And I'm like, I mean, I had to turn it sideways and kick as hard as I could just to get pulled out. And I mean, I'm just taking roller over roller off the front. And I already had my fifth fish and I'm just trying to get to the ramp. Like I went and sat in the truck. I was like, psh, like this, y'all can have it all. If you can beat me in this mess, you can have it. I don't want it.
There you go.
It's the same, man.
Well, we appreciate you having you on, and hopefully we'll have you on for too long. We won't wait this, you know, never have you on and then have you on. Hopefully it'll be
for stay too in long. Touch, man. Keep up with my spare keys. We'll
dude, get it together. I want to get that key back to you. I don't want it. I don't want it in my house. It's bad luck.
There'll be another event down there somewhere that I'm sure I'll show up at.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure. Bring it to Pickwick because I'll probably lose my keys there.
I'll give it to you then. Deal. All right. Be good, man.
All right. Take it easy, y'all.
See you.
All right. There we go. Hard to beat that. The man himself. I'm so happy for him. I really am. Like,
I didn't realize that he hadn't had a national win. I've got his 2020 stats. You know, he's got 4 wins this year, 1 Tennessee State Championship, or the CAST State Championship. But I didn't realize that he hadn't had a you know, top tier win, if you would. Because I mean, he does good.
That CAST State Championship, that trophy is legit. Now he's got the best one.
And that Hobie trophy looks so good.
That thing's beautiful. Yeah. But so I'll go over a couple of other events, like always. The KBBT Final Four, first place, Jason Campbell, he won it. He beat me. Well, I didn't put up much of a fight because we were fishing Dale Hollow. But he beat me in the first round, and he ended up winning the whole deal. So that's why I lost, because he was destined to win the whole thing. Jared Brockelman, he got second. Conrad Benetti, the Barbarian. and Marty Hughes. Marty Hughes, I'll tell you what, that guy is amazing. He is in Nebraska and he beats people's doors off like all the time in that thing.
I really enjoyed having him on the show too. Marty's a cool guy.
Marty is really one of the best anglers in the country. Legit, like, does not get his due. And been doing it forever, like, super OG to the sport. And Kayak Anglers Florida on Lake Jackson, they only had 24 anglers, but honestly, there's no other tournaments going on. Florida's about all that's going to be going on here in the next couple months.
Yeah.
Michael Nielsen, 92 1/4. Charlie Greer, 90 3/4. And Richard White, 85 inches. And last, congrats to Damian Tao. He was just on show. His team won the Yakabass team tournament. There was 9 teams, but they were on Lake Comanche. I loved his team name. They were called 4½ Men, because I'm guessing they had one short dude. But you could have one fish, and the lengths were real low. But I thought 4½ Men. I thought that was hilarious. But yeah. So, oh, wait, here we go. Chris Marks, man, Randall will have that competition if he gets that promotion next year. Fish daily on Gunnersville. Yeah. Randall.
He can't be stopped on Gunnersville.
Oh, I must stop him.
I'm not just going to go fish right beside him like Bubba does. It seems to work out real good for Bubba Jones. Yeah, they fish spitting distance from each other and straight whack them. I'd like to get Lambert down here in the spring and Randall on the same body of water in the spring. Largemouth versus smallmouth. I think that'd be a cool little 1-2, one way or the other.
I mean, if he's catching 95 plus on Gunnersville, I mean, that's, it doesn't matter. I mean, that's,
That's Randall's doing that in the mats with largies, and Lambert's up north doing it with smallies.
I mean, in the spring, I can catch 90 inches a day on Gunnersville, but
I'm gonna follow you to your spot this year.
No, you're not.
Mm-hmm.
No, dude, I will outkick you. I will outkick you.
I'm just gonna use the motor.
Yeah, well, there you go. I won't go there. All right, well, a little bit of a short show, but that's fine. Just go upstairs, spend some family time. My wife hadn't seen me. I fished all day yesterday, and now I'm down here at night. But
well, we got one more big one to cover next week. So,
yep,
yeah, check winners and
yeah, hopefully we'll have them on. That's the plan. Good luck to everybody up there. I know I've already got some friends up there, and like Ryan said, it's fishing weird. So we'll see.
Y'all are lucky. I won't be up there.
The cold starting today. Today it was definitely cooled off, so maybe it'll, by the end of the week, it'll get them
stabilized.
Yeah. Maybe this will be the week it happens. Because we've been waiting for that fall bite down here, so we'll see.
Yep. We definitely haven't hit that, in my opinion.
Yeah. It's just been funky. It hadn't been like that, like the light switch like you want it to be, you know? So.
All right.
We'll see. All right. Yeah. Thanks for watching, everybody. And we'll see you again next week. Where are your PFDs?
Peace.
Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode on Paddle and Fin. Don't forget to go check out our website at paddlenfin.com. Don't forget to check out the YouTube channel at Paddle and Fin. If you got a question, comment, want to hear from a future guest on a future episode, feel free to email us at paddlenfin@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Paddle and Fin on Facebook and Instagram. Shout out to our show supporters, Angler. The Angler button and app just makes for a better time on the water and creates a virtual logbook for every fishing outing out on the water. Shout out to Rocktown Adventures, located in Northern Illinois, for all your kayaking, camping, and hiking needs. TRC Covers, protect your investment. Catch Products, shout out to Catch Products. Go to catchproducts.com and put the Paddle and Fin logo directly on your catchboard. Shout out to Jigmasters Jigs. When in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com, use promo code PNF20 and save 20% on all your jig and tackle needs.